Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So our text for this morning is that epistle lesson from Romans chapter 8. It's so familiar. It is such a familiar section of Scripture. And I'd like to read a different translation of that. Please listen carefully, because sometimes hearing something so familiar in a different way might help us to hear it more freshly. Who then can ever keep Christ's love from us? When we have trouble or calamity, when we are hunted down or destroyed, is it because he doesn't love us anymore? And if we are hungry or penniless or in danger or threatened with death, has God deserted us? No, for the Scriptures tell us that for his sake we must be ready to face death at every moment of the day. We are like sheep awaiting slaughter, but despite all this, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us enough to die for us. For I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't, and life can't. The angels won't, and all the powers of hell itself cannot keep God's love away. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow or where we are, high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God demonstrated by our Lord Jesus Christ when he died for us. This portion of Scripture really has two points of contact for us. On the one hand, although we're apart from God, that is, we can't physically see or hear him, his promise is that nothing can separate us from him and his love. This is such an important and wonderful promise to hear, especially when we're feeling the results of our own sin, which drive a wedge between us and our God, or when we're questioning God's love because of the circumstances of our life. Even then, and maybe especially then, we need to hear and trust the promise that nothing can separate us from his love. But the second point of contact for us is that the power of this promise also extends into the lives of faith which we live out this side of heaven. While there are all kinds of things which separate us from one another, both physically and emotionally, as we exercise God's forgiveness to one another in our lives, his promise is that reconciliation and togetherness can happen again. Paul says not just once, but twice in this short passage that nothing can separate us from God's love. Our God established a bond with us in our baptism, which cannot be broken by any external force or circumstance, because there is nothing in all creation stronger than him. He sent his son to die for us so that we might be his people. And so he promises to guard and sustain us from everything that would try to pull us away from him. And there are at least three reasons why we know this. First, we can never be separated from God because he has chosen to be our Father. Paul said earlier in chapter 8, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Paul says we don't have a spirit of fear. That is, we never need to fear that God will forsake us, for he has made us his sons and daughters, chosen us to be his children. You see, our relationship with him is no accident. The fact that God has chosen and committed himself to us is one of the greatest assurances that we have of his love. When Janet and I were married, we spent our first year in Battle Creek, Michigan, where I was serving my vicarage. Since we didn't know if we'd ever live that far east again, we decided to take a trip to the coast. Our big mistake was trying to see too much in a very short period of time. In one day, we drove from Concord, Massachusetts, through Boston, out to the end of Cape Cod, swam in the Atlantic, drove back from the Cape through Rhode Island, all of 30 minutes, by the way, and into Connecticut, where we stayed with one of Janet's relatives. All of this in August, in a car with no air conditioning. And to say that we were a bit frazzled doesn't begin to describe the mood in the car. On top of all of this, Janet and I had different ideas of what was important to see. As the temperature in the car rose, so did our frustrations and our tempers, until before you knew it, we were having a vigorous discussion. Now, this was a Honda Accord, about the size of a Honda Civic today. And at that moment, although we were very close, we weren't very close. Our anger had driven us apart. But even in the midst of all that, we had the assurance that as we had chosen one another, as we were committed to one another, we'd work out the difficulties and be close again. We're almost there. I'm just kidding. In fact, I made the comment, this is off text here just for a second, but I made the comment yesterday that as we were driving along, that we've put a lot of miles on the car or on our cars together driving around this country. I'd really, that maybe that's a task I'll have to do in heaven, is kind of sit down and find out how many miles I drove and she navigated, and still does. But that same knowledge, that same assurance that we're committed to one another has stood us in good stead over the years, and that's the way it is with God. Because He has chosen us, because He has committed Himself to us, there's nothing we can do that His love, forgiveness, and grace cannot cover. Except for refusing to receive it. And there's nothing we can do that can change the fact of His decision to be committed to us and to work with us throughout our lives to keep us close to Himself. That's one of the things that makes Christianity so hard for non-Christians to understand. You see, our faith is not simply a philosophy or a set of rules to follow that will make our life a bit easier to deal with. Christianity is a relationship with the living Lord, Jesus Christ. It's a relationship with a God who wants us to call Him Father, or more appropriately, Daddy. For that's what the word Abba really means. The second reason we know that we can never be separated from God is because He was willing to give up that which was most dear to Him, namely His own Son. He showed us how much He loved us by sending Jesus to die for us as a payment for your sins and for mine. That other very familiar passage, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." Sin separated us from God. It was one of the things that not only drove us apart, but actually separated us from God. That break was complete. Isaiah says, "No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins." Because of our sin, we had no hope, no relationship with God. But Christ came and saved us while we were yet sinners. That relationship has been restored. And Peter says it this way: "He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By His wounds, you have been healed." Jesus destroyed the power of sin which had kept us separate from God and from one another. And now we are free to be forgiven and to forgive in God's name. And so reestablish those broken relationships with others. In fact, not only can we forgive, but we must forgive. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." As we pray that, we're laying hold of the promise of the power of forgiveness. In Christ, God has forgiven us, and by so doing, he gives us the power to forgive others. Amy Carmichael once wrote, "If I say, 'Yes, I forgive,' but forget that God, the God who twice a day washes all the sands on all the shores of all the world, can also wash such memories from my mind, then I know nothing of Christ's love." And John Wesley is said to have reported to his biography that at one point, General John Oglethorpe said, "I never forgive and I never forget," to which Wesley responded, "Then, sir, I hope you never sin." When we reflect on how much God has forgiven us, it makes our own little grudges against one another seem rather petty. And the third reason we know that we'll never be separated from the love of God is because he tells us that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And the key words there are, "through him who loved us." The power to remain with God does not lie in us, but rather lies in Christ who dwells in us. And that's why Paul was able to say, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And I can do everything through him who gives me strength." It's Christ who has the power to maintain our relationship with him. We don't rely on our own inadequate faith and strength. Because of this, Christ won't love us less when we run into the difficulties of life. We all have problems. We all have times when we think that we're beyond God's help. There are some times that we have such a deep sense of our sin and guilt before God that we can't bear to face him or others or even ourselves. After all, how many times have people been deserted by their best friends right when the going got tough? How many times have people been left alone when there was trouble, trouble with the law, or divorce, or family problems? How many people right now are alone in prisons because of their crimes, or alone in hospitals because of some dread disease, or alone in themselves because of addictions? And yet, even though these difficulties occur, God says he will never leave us or forsake us in the time of our troubles. We can separate ourselves from God. We can even use those problems to blame him for it. We can sit back and cry out that God has left us when troubles come. But to do this is to blame God for the problems that come. More often than not, we bring our problems on ourselves. But his promise is that in spite of how the problems came to us, he will uphold us and sustain us through the midst of them. And because we're never separated from him, we're really never separated from one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ. There was a woman in the church that I served in Hot Springs, South Dakota, that had a beautiful little phrase for the people in our church. She called them her forever family. We may be apart at times, for there are many things in life which can drive us apart. But because of the love of God, which we have experienced in our lives, because we're co-heirs of the kingdom and fellow workers with Christ, we carry that same ministry wherever we go. And when we've been driven apart because of sin, misunderstanding, or anger, we can forgive one another, and we can be reconciled. And so we can say with full conviction and assurance, as Paul does, that I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't, and life can't. The angels won't, and all the powers of hell itself cannot keep God's love away. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, or where we are, high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God demonstrated by our Lord Jesus Christ when he died for us. And as we remain in God's love, we will also remain in love with one another. Amen.